Penn State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, under their belt.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Mr. Rich Rebart. This is how much we love y'all. We are coming to you live Thanksgiving morning. You know, our families are already joining and embracing and loving each other. And Rich and I, we're in our offices, just grinding these decimals. That is what we're doing for y'all. So, Rich, we're here. We're picking some games. Honestly, don't have a real big opinion on any of the Thanksgiving games, so fine by me to not have these included.
Yeah, I mean, I do like one of them. We won't like pick it because people want to listen to this afterwards. But I do think that the Vikings are pretty interesting because it's the sub three. Just for the sake of when you look at the Patriots, like who they've played so far, they might have played the worst quarterback schedule of the NFL to date. Now, counterpoint: Kirk Cousins on primetime, but. That would be the one kind of pushback on it. But I think when I look at the Patriots kind of schedule, we did this with them last year. I think the Patriots made like a run where they won like five or six games in a row last year. People are like, oh, the Patriots, man, like Belichick's doing it again. And it's like, I don't know, man, they played a bunch of jamokes at quarterback. Like they're probably not this good. And kind of where I feel like we are right now, because we're just coming off a three game stretch where the Patriots have played Zach Wilson twice and Sam Ellinger. And the week before that stretch, they got dusted by the Bears on Monday night. So
not great.
Let's at least let's pump the brakes and at least see what we got here with the Patriots against some of these better teams. They play the Vikings and the Bills the next 2 weeks.
Rest in peace to one Mr. Zachary Wilson.
Tough scenes.
Tough scenes. All right, let's go through. Let's pick our five favorite games against the spread. What is your first game?
I wanted to have the Bears, but I just don't know if Fields is going to play yet.
The Bears plus six, if Justin Fields starts, is probably like my two or three. I left it off my list entirely because Fields is,
we don't know.
It's totally. But the New York Football Jets with any quarterback, any available quarterback on their roster should not be touchdown favorites over any team.
I don't know if people realize Mike White threw 8 interceptions last year on 130 passes. Like he had a 6% interception rate.
Yeah, he's not very good. Yeah. He's just simply not very good. So I don't think there's any reason to go crazy over.
Someone was
this team
arguing with me that that Mike White was just a supremely better fantasy start than Bryce Perkins. I don't want to live a life where I have to start a guy like Mike White over someone that can actually like be fun and have a ceiling.
Correct. So that's where we stand on that game. I would say like, if we get like a Schefter tweet, like Fields is going to give it a go or whatever, I would go see if you can bet that before
it's not it's not his throwing shoulder.
Yes. Yeah.
But there also is kind of no reason to play him.
We say those things all the time.
I know.
About these guys, like Jonathan Taylor, like why the fuck is Jonathan Taylor playing on like a broken ankle or whatever, but these guys don't care. They just want to play, especially Fields. I mean, I think Fields just wants to win a game. I think Fields would love to run for 200 yards, but he'd really love to run for 200 yards in a game that the Chicago Bears won.
Yeah, I was tweeting the same thing about Stafford. Like, there's no reason for the Rams to play Stafford, but I'm pretty sure Stafford's going to try to push the play because that's what these guys do. You're right.
Yeah. All right, dude, what is your actual number five?
All right, so number five, we're getting gross. You can get this at 7 in some spots still. If you can get it at 7, I still like it. It's gross, but I think the Packers, similar spot as a couple weeks ago, just take the touchdown, hold your nose, walk away. This Eagles team, which I still believe is one of the better teams in the NFL, one of the better complete teams, but they still have a lot of flaws. And I think we've seen that offensively, like, they will leave the door open for you here. Like, the explosive plays have kind of dried up a little bit. The Packers don't give up a lot of, like, huge explosive plays in the pass game. And this run game for the Eagles hasn't been kind of as strong as it was like at the close of last year. And these teams, kind of some teams are hanging around with them. So really, it's not anything that I believe the Packers are going to challenge to beat the Eagles. But I think it's one of these games where the Eagles probably leave at least the back door open, or it could just be kind of closer than people think, like it was last week against the Colts.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that. I mean, I just remain ideologically opposed to betting on Aaron Rodgers. But I would say, clearly, the Eagles' performances are trending this direction, right? We're starting to see, you know, a little bit of like, okay, AJ Brown's playing a little bit banged up. They don't have Dallas Goedert. They have no one to replace him with, right? Quez Watkins, Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra. These guys are absolutely no replacement for Dallas Goedert. What happened
to Kenneth Gainwell too? Like, I thought he would at least have like, right, some role in offense.
Okay. I have the absolute grossest line. You're not even going to believe I'm taking this as my five, but it is the Los Angeles Rams plus 15 and a half points against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I think that if the Rams can get to 10, that it probably works, right? I think the Rams can get to 10, maybe, I mean, 14, 13, like, and the Chiefs, we like, the Chiefs are the opposite of the Bills, right? Where they're up 10. Mahomes is not out there, you know, dipsy doing and throwing these, and they're banged up right now. So I think that plays into it as well. Like, they are probably going to get Juju back, but they're missing Tony. They're missing Hardman. Clyde just went on the IR. They're going to have to activate Ronald Jones. I think they're just going to run a lot in the second half. And you mentioned this in our group chat the other day. I mean, Bryce Perkins is like kind of fun. You know, he's going to run around and do some stuff. He'll probably make some horrible errors, but like, I don't know. I mean, he'll do some stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for Bryce Perkins. You know, I picked him up in a couple of 2QB Superflex leagues. I don't think we'll get there on DFS with him just because he's not like super
dead,
funky.
Dead man.
He is 5K on DraftKings, but like he's 6'6 on FanDuel, so it's like tough to play him, I think. But I think he's a fun and interesting guy. I mean, this dude ran in college too. Remember, sacks count as negative yards. He ran over 2,000 yards his last 2 years and 20 touchdowns. And he only played 25 snaps on Sunday and ran for 40 yards. Like, I could see a scenario where he pushes for like 100 yards rushing. Now they have nobody to throw to. We saw that kind of again last week. But I think he could run around and do some things for sure, man. Because these huge lines, like in the NFL this year, I'm gonna lay points. My next pick's laying a pretty large line, but
you'd be like the better of the year if you just took all of these massive spreads. You'd be, yes, like, people would be like, oh, this dude's from the future. So that's my number five. Probably the first time I have ever picked against the Kansas City Chiefs in the history of this program. But I just like, incentive wise, like, what is their incentive to win by 16 here? You know, like, they don't care. They literally already won the division. It's Thanksgiving and the division's over. Like, unbelievable.
Is Ron John getting some fourth quarter carries here?
See, I mean, he has to, right? I mean, I guess they could just give it to Pacheco. Well, they have another running back. Well, they have Wayne Gallman on the practice squad, and they have Jerry and Ely on the practice squad. And I wonder if they're so tilted at him for asking for his release that they're like, fuck you, Rojo. Like, you're pee squatting again, and we're going to play Jerry and Ely.
Oh, man, to be dirty. So grimy, man. Because especially when a guy's on your practice squad and he's asked to release, like, why not just be like, yeah, man, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so what is your number four?
All right, so I'm only because, like, we've talked about the big lines this year and you laying more than a touchdown this year has not been fortuitous. That's why it's at four. But, I mean, I'm going to lay these 8.5 with the 49ers.
This is my three. This is okay, my three.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't laid a line like this, especially on this show, in a few weeks. And we've been doing a lot better for it. So we'll see if it comes back to circle around and bite us. But I mean, man, the 49ers are such a better team than the Saints. I mean, there was while Stafford was in that game, there was like a point where I was like, oh, the Saints are going to lose this game to the Rams. Like, that game was neck and neck until Stafford leaves the game. 49ers though, man, they just look like they are ready to make a run here. Like, they, The addition of Christian McCaffrey and what it does, when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the initial struggles he's had, me and Dan Pasuda talk about this on our show, just, you know, cover one and cover three, like where you can put one of those safeties or a robber in the middle of the field. It's always been kind of his bugaboo, right? Like he's throwing those aggressive throws in the middle of the field. Not a lot of quarterbacks throw them. That's why he throws a lot of interceptions. But Christian McCaffrey's pulling guys out of that area of the field now. You see on Monday night, he throws the backside slant to Ayuk. Christian McCaffrey's drawing like three defenders in the middle of the field on the route he's running. He's sucking all that stuff up. So like the addition of what he can do on some of those like schemes that have given Garoppolo trouble in the past and the space that Christian McCaffrey has opened up has Garoppolo legitimately playing like the best football he arguably has of his career.
I think that's a huge point. I think Kevin Cole tweeted this the other day, or someone that we know tweeted this, like he's doing a little bit more out of structure. Like he's throwing to the hashes.
Yeah. You never see like Jimmy Garoppolo scrambles. Like once he left the pocket, you're like, oh baby, this is going to be an adventure. He does a touchdown. And the other thing about Garoppolo too is, you know, he's not a guy that does like a lot of press and stuff, but like he has the vibe of, he knows he's playing with house money right now. Like you can like see it in like his conversation and like his, like he knows that like this, like he's in just like this glorious situation. He's got all these weapons around him and he's going to go into this free agency situation and use this as a platform. Like you can kind of sense, like he knows, like it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just freewheeling here.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, my logic was twofold. One is that when you're up by 10 points is to be like, all right, like let's do cool Shanahan running shit with Eli Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. That's pretty good. Two, the Saints are just like one of the biggest train wreck teams in the NFL right now. And it feels like we are heading for another, you know, like it feels like we're in for like a, I know Dalton like was in, what did he only have three incompletions last week or whatever? But it's like, one, Dalton still takes these horrible sacks all the time. Two, the looming specter of like Dalton throws a pick six, you bring Jameis in. They were doing alternating snaps with Taysom last week. Like they're just, I don't know, they're just a mess of a team. And the 49ers are clearly on the ascendancy. So that one felt pretty good to
me. They're still
doing
the friendly loss thing with Dalton, right? Like he'll have some of these moments where, yeah, like in structure in these games where like you can just kind of keep close and then just try to like you pull out, but like you have stuff like the week before against the Steelers, right? Like it's just nondescript and you lose the game. Like that's what they're doing,
right? Okay, so my number four is the what do they have? Oh, the Indianapolis Colts -2.5 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Jeff Saturday is like, I don't think he's like this revolutionary coach or whatever, but the Steelers stink, dude. Like they like Kenny Pickett. I mean, I certainly was rooting for Kenny Pickett and it just doesn't seem like it's happening. He's been, and you pointed this out to me like, I don't know, a month or ago or so, like they were having all these dudes running deep routes. Like Najee Harris was running deep routes and Deontay Johnson was running deep routes and all this shit. And Pickett is like the worst deep ball thrower, like having the worst success on deep ball throws in the NFL, but I haven't really seen a ton of adjustment there. So I just, and I know we shouldn't just be picking all these favorites, but like, I don't know. It feels like they kind of have, feels like they kind of just have it figured out. Like they're just going to run the ball. They're going to throw short to Paris Campbell. Like, I don't know. They're just a pretty decent, like they're not a good team. They're like a 500-ish team and the Steelers are way worse than that.
Yeah. I had this one, as my next one. So yeah, I'm totally on board with you on this. And especially cause it's under a field goal. I think that's probably the more attractive part of it too. It's just like, all right, we just got to win and they're at home. You know, that's the other thing too. So yeah, I have struggled taking the Steelers, you know, plus the points. Maybe if you're getting more than a field goal, I mean, bet against them last week and it worked out. They kept it close for a little bit, but they just don't have enough juice, right, offensively. And that's really kind of the end thing for it. And you talked about Pickett, and the Colts are actually the fourth best defense against throws 10 yards or further downfield. They've only allowing 40% completion rate on those throws. On throws 10 yards or further downfield, he is the lowest, you know, he's completed 36.2% of passes, lowest rate of all quarterbacks in the NFL. So yeah, I mean, it's just, they can't really do anything. Although Najee showed signs of life here, man. That touchdown he had.
That touchdown run, buddy, was like, I couldn't believe, I could not believe that was Najee Harris. I don't even ever recall him doing anything like that at Bama. I mean, he hurdled a guy. Like, I've never seen that from him. And for DFS and stuff, like, Jalen Warren might not play game. Yeah. Which is kind of interesting. Like, I mean, it might be back to just full Najee.
Yeah, like 20 plus touch Najee, and you just throw the touches at the wall. I mean, I doubt many teams that drafted Najee in the first round are alive.
Are alive still? Yes.
But maybe someone picked him up. Maybe he was cut and someone picked him up, or they traded for him in some kind of weird ancillary attachment in a trade. And you're just going to get kind of the best of it right now. I mean, I imagine most Jonathan Taylor teams like aren't doing well at this point, big picture, but like he's back getting 20 touches a game. So like at this time of the year, man, just take those guys, plug them in.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So wait, was that your number three as well?
Yeah, that was my three.
Okay. We already did my three, San Francisco minus 8.5. So we're down two and one.
Yeah, I got the Bucs next. They're not. I don't think they're set up to make a run like the 49ers, but I do think that they're a team that's going to finish the season strong and could be a potential thorn in the playoffs. And this Browns defense is just so bad, man. I mean, they get blown out last week if the Bills can finish any drive. The Bills punted just twice last week, but Tyler Bass kicked 17 field goals, and they just couldn't finish a drive. But they can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. There's nothing they can do. We pray on Thanksgiving. We're going to all say our Thanksgiving Day prayers today that we get a full Rashad White game without Leonard Fournette on Sunday. That's what we're all going to beg for, who then would be 5,100 on DraftKings this weekend. But this, I mean, it's just a bet against this Browns defense, which is literally one of the worst defenses. There's only four defenses in the NFL that are in the bottom eight, the bottom quadrant of NFL teams in yards allowed per pass attempt and yards allowed per rush attempt. And one of those is the Browns. So just a bet against their defense.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know me, like I'm not betting on the Buccaneers. Here's the weird thing. The weird thing about this game is, what do you do to beat the Browns? You run the ball. They're the degree to which they are the worst rushing defense over the next worst rushing defense. They're like almost like 75% worse.
I tweeted it during the week.
Yeah, we do this show and I'm just paraphrasing things that you've tweeted like 3 days ago.
I just, if you look at running back carries, if you remove all quarterback rushes, they've allowed minus 32.2 expected points, expect EPA added. So it's this negative 30. And the Chargers, who we all inherently know are an awful run defense, right? Like we just watched Isaiah Pacheco run for 8 yards for his touch on every carry on Sunday night. They're at minus 17.7. So it's like double worse. And that's removing all quarterback runs from the equation, like actual just run defense. And man, they're that bad.
Yeah, they're so. Which
people
is like
we're like tweeting about like the Bills last week, and they're like, "Oh, their pass rate expectation was so low. Like, what are we gonna do? Is this a change in the guard?" I'm like, they played the fucking Browns. Like,
It is what it is. So this is my thing. If I had confidence, they would just go with Rashad White here. I'd be like, hell yeah, I'd be like, yeah. But I think they're just gonna be stubborn with Fournette and be like playing him through this hip pointer.
Are you handling that? Not to make it like
I'm jamming Rashad White in tournaments. I think at this point, because I played a shit ton of Pollard last week, like one of the first times I've gotten a really good DFS call right this year. But I actually think it's better if Fournette is active but banged up for Rashad White, because Latavius Murray is sitting there right at 5,000. And he is projecting super well in all the optimals and everything. And I'm not going to fucking play Latavius Murray. Like I'm zero in. And if he beats me, he beats me, whatever. I've gotten plenty of things wrong this year, but I think Rashad White seems like just a stone jam, just like because one, it's an elite matchup. Two, in-game injury for Fournette. We've already seen White play more. He had his first 100-yard game. Fournette has just been bad all year. Like I admit Fournette has owned me maybe more than anyone else in fantasy football. No, like, and maybe I'm losing the football again, but he's been legit bad this year. Like in years past, at least Fournette would be like, he'd churn out his 4 yards. There'd be some big plays and stuff. I mean, there's just been none of that. Like he has been horrible in every game this year. So, and this team wants to make the playoffs, they're drawing so live in this division, and this is a huge game for them. All that being said, I'm not betting him, or I'm not betting the Buccaneers.
I have Rashad White in a league, and I've been going back and forth versus him and Damian Pierce all week. You got a lean there?
Rashad White versus Damian Pierce?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it depends on how you play the game. You know, Damian Pierce is projected for like way more points, but isn't Rashad White like the way more fun play? And the Texans have just been getting shithoused. Like yeah, they absolutely. Like these game. I mean, they have been done and out of these games by like midway through the second quarter. And Damian Pierce has not had more than 20 points since week five, I think. Like, mm-hmm. like, and he's even been getting used like running routes, but they're just not even targeting. I don't know. Maybe Kyle Allen gives them a shot in the arm. You'd probably start Pierce, but it's going to be one that you're like, I can't fucking believe I started Damian Pierce instead of just doing Rashad White.
To me, I'm just like, do I want these 12 points or do I want to like hope for 20?
Yeah. Exactly.
We're going back and forth on that one all week. Yeah. Do you think there's any chance, I don't have the Texans on here, but do you think there's any chance that the Dolphins kind of look like this is like an overlooked game? They got the 49ers next week, which is kind of fun. I can't wait for that game, Dolphins 49ers. Any chance that they kind of just don't, like it's like a trap game for them?
I mean, maybe it doesn't, that doesn't feel like a Mike McDaniel thing though.
Yeah,
it feels,
I don't think so either.
It feels like, and also like, I think he probably knows like, oh, I can win coach of the year. Like, yeah, like, you know, like there's a lot of Tua could, I mean, I don't think he will, but I guess Tua is probably second favorite for MVP right now. Like they want to keep all that stuff going.
Next week's the week I'm looking for, because as excited I was on the Dolphins coming into this year, and you know, I always said like, this is how I build my Madden rosters. Like the Dolphins are building like a team, like I would build a Madden. But they faced literally like this, counting the Texans this week, like four of the worst defenses in the NFL the past month. I mean, they've gone Lions, Bears, Browns, now Texans in the last month. So like, I at least want to see like Tua carve the 49ers before like I anoint him in anywhere, like even challenging the throne of Mahomes, because Mahomes is on such a ridiculous heater right now. And it feels like people like just like they have like the Jordan corollary with him where it's just like, this dude's good. We're just tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, my number two, this is again gonna be shocking you. The Cincinnati Bengals, road favorites against the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they're getting Ja'Marr Chase back. No team I love to bet against more than the Tennessee Titans. And I also think, like many teams, when they lose their battering ram running back, it actually makes them better because it incentivizes them to be more aggressive passing the ball. And also, I was listening to a Joe Burrow interview the other day, and he said something that really painted his whole playing style to me in such a different light. Cause I've been pretty negative on Joe Burrow relative to like the consensus or whatever. And he was talking about the sacks, because that's like the huge thing with him is like, dude just eats sacks like crazy, like way more than Mahomes, way more than all these other great quarterbacks. And that's a huge drawdown. And the thing that he said that I had never considered is he's like, I don't give a shit about taking a sack on third down. Like if my decision making is either I'm going to take a horrible sack and we're going to end up punting, or I can try and extend the play longer to try and find Ja'Marr, to try and find T, to try and find Boyd, to try and just do whatever, then I'm going to try and do that. And I've talked about that with Taylor. I've talked about that. I don't remember the OC's name. That actually made sense to me. That like from like a risk reward perspective, I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess, because like sometimes I get a little frustrated. I mean, it's hard to get frustrated with Mahomes, but a lot of the times on third down, when the Chiefs do punt, like the three times a game they do punt, a lot of the time it's because Mahomes doesn't want to take the sack and throws the ball away, or throws it short to McKinnon, or, an MVS target, which is just basically a zero at this point. So I have kind of just like re-enamored myself with Joe Burrow. And then also, I mean, the Titans are just not going to hang with teams of this passing caliber when their three wide set includes Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Robert Woods. Like these dudes are giving them nothing. And I know Burks was so good last week, but I'm looking to get a little bit long on the Bengals with Ja'Marr back and just continually short on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, the Titans, they're doing this again, right? They're tightening. This is what the Titans do. They're a tough man. This is the alligator blood team, but they also,
yeah, they are. I love Vrabel. Like I know I always talk so bad about the Titans, but Vrabel is like the best. He really is.
I mean, it is a thing though. When you look at them again, you're like, oh, here they are, 7-3, and they haven't beat one team with a winning record, you know? So it's like the same story we always have with them, like every year. They do tend to punch up, but this is under three, so I don't mind it. I kind of looked at it, and then I was like, man, Titans have owned my soul for so long. I'm just not going to do it. And the Bengals, I'm a little worried about the Bengals' defense right now.
Like they have a bunch of injuries, right?
Yeah, because I bet the Bengals last week, and the Steelers were hanging for like the first half of that game, and I was like, oh, this Bengals defense is looking rough. So
yeah,
because the last two games, Tannehill's been played pretty well. He played that was one of the better games I've seen Tannehill play last Thursday against the Packers. Like one,
he was really good. He was really good. I don't want to take anything away from
that first ball he threw to Burks. Where Burks got upfield, but he threw that thing in a perfect spot. I don't mind it at all, especially if they get Chase back. I'm cool that the Bengals are ready to make a run. I think too, they're another team. They've got a tough schedule the rest of the way out, real rough. So they need this one.
Yeah, they do. By the way, I mean, our number one hit last week. What a dramatic fashion for our number one to hit last week. The first time we were united on a number one all year, and we get the punt return touchdown. I mean, just beautiful.
Close block in the back, was it on the side? And I think that like the refs, he maybe thought about maybe throwing the flag on that and said, there's no way I want this game to go to overtime.
Yeah, no one wants this. The NFL doesn't want it. The Jets don't want it. The Patriots don't want it. Like let's just get out of here. Let's get everyone home. All right. I'm curious to see if we both have the same number one. Probably not. Maybe we do.
Yeah, no, my number one is the Chargers. This Cardinals team is just dead, man. I was ready to back them last week, and they're just dead, dude. They're dead. Their last 17 games, they're now 5-12. They're just lost, man. They're just, and you know, we saw Herbert with at least just getting a couple guys back, like look aggressive, right? Like look there. And maybe it's just the Chiefs thing with Herbert that they tend to just punch up, but we saw him season high completion rate, season high 9.3 yards per pass attempt. He's throwing the ball downfield a little bit more. I'm just going to take Herbert and just hope that I can just hang on here against this Cardinals team who's legitimately going to be trailing by a ton in this game at some point. It just depends if they come back or not. But this Cardinals team, I'm completely out on them. I don't know what happens in the offseason. It's been a disaster, but 5-12 their last 17 games.
Yeah, I mean, how could I possibly go against this one? I mean, it's not on my list because I remain abstaining from betting on the Chargers. They're like my least favorite team in the NFL.
Staley killed him.
Yeah.
They killed
yeah.
their guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Herbert Mahomes conversation was annoying to me. Staley being bullied by the internet, like the conversation about field position after losing to the Chiefs. I mean, they stole this man's soul. He got bullied into becoming, you know, like a Patriots assistant. You know, I mean, it's horrible. So yeah, I mean, of course, I'm not gonna. We love betting against Cliff. Cliff is the absolute worst. So
and like the I way got, to beat the Chargers, like you know, you could beat them a couple ways, but are the Cardinals just gonna line up and run it down their throats? Probably not.
Yeah, no chance. No chance. Yeah, absolutely. No, of course not. My number one, I am actually surprised this didn't make it on your list. The Seattle Seahawks. Like I'm not surprised it's
consideration.
Surprised it's not but I mean the fucking Raiders, dude. Like, what is the point? The Raiders are like the most useless team. It's like they play some of these close games and then sometimes they don't show up at all. I mean, the Seahawks are just, at this point, I'm ready to just say, like, they're a pretty good team. I mean, Geno is pretty good. They've got, like, this whole offensive formula figured out. It's a huge advantage to have two wide receivers who are that dominant. Like, I mean, that's one of the biggest advantages in the NFL is having not one, but two guys who can just, like, always get open. I mean, that's a huge reason for the Bengals' success. It was a huge, when the Buccaneers used to be good, it was because Godwin and Evans were so good together, you know, I mean, it's huge. And Kenneth Walker is unbelievable. Like, Kenneth Walker is like Bo Jackson, dude. I this guy could do absolutely anything to me. And the Seahawks defense is not very good, like relative to like if you're looking at like DVOA and everything. But guess what? The Raiders offense mega stinks. Like, Carr is as bad as ever. They're down Hunter Renfrow. You know, the Mac Hollins is out there. Foster Moreau is prominently involved. We got Keelan Cole returning from the dead. Like, this is just a loser team. And that's the thesis is the, and also the Raiders, like, I think pretty clearly hate Josh McDaniels, but they can't, the team can't fire him because they owe him too much money. So it's just like this uncomfortable marriage. Like, there's just no reason for the Raiders to try in these games.
I mean, listen, we know Derek Carr is going to at least do his thing, you know.
Yeah, he's going to do his thing.
Where he's at least going to motivate these guys. And listen, as long as Josh McDaniels is getting enough opportunities for Davante Adams to continue on this blitzkrieg he's on, and Josh Jacobs to keep.
It's all I care about. All I care about is Davante Adams getting to 22 every week.
That's all we care about. Just Davante Adams getting those bags pumped, and then Josh Jacobs getting a bunch of carries. Josh Jacobs, man, looks legitimately awesome this year. Like,
100%. I don't know
I don't know how we're going to handle him next year and what happens if he stays in the Raiders, if he goes somewhere else. But he's been legitimately great. Like, actually, like, I don't know how many Raiders games people are watching out there these days, especially when they're facing the Denver Broncos. But, man, Josh Jacobs, like, he's doing a lot of work on his own. Like, he is not, like, it's not like he's getting a tarmac and, like, running for 40 yards where no one touches him. Like, this dude is breaking a tackle, like, literally at the line of scrimmage every run, and getting like 6 or 7 yards. He's catching the football. I'm curious to see what happens with him this offseason. Absolutely. But yeah, dude, I don't even like Davante Adams is having an absolutely bonkers run, though. Like, he had the flu game mixed in, and I think a lot of people they're like, oh man, he had like an egg. But like, since week 4, this, like, look at that dude's box scores. It's like, he is going absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was a little bit banged up, but I mean, and he, the one game that he had 40, he had one catch in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, this dude could be, I mean, he could be on like an absolute, he could be on a Tyreek Hill level pace, you know, if, I mean, honestly, if the Raiders were like a little bit more competitive, I think he would, I think he'd pretty much be there.
And obviously,
so
he's had the run out where it's like the Packers, right? Like, when he was in those Packers teams, like, there was nobody else. And that's kind of what's happened, like, this season at the Raiders. That was kind of like what people were like, well, you know, Adams doesn't have to really share targets with anybody. You know, does Waller and Renfrow hurt him at all? And well, they don't play. But none of those guys play.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, dude. There we go. Thanksgiving, we wrapped it up. We picked some games. Do you have any big nuggets of wisdom for DFS this weekend you want to drop?
No, I'm like, so like, so we crammed so much into this like period before like the
Thanksgiving. Yeah, I got no clue
that I really haven't like gone in and done like a bunch of like main slate stuff because all the shows I did were like geared towards the Thanksgiving slate. So like, I haven't really like invested a ton of time. Obviously, I've written up all these players in the worksheet and I can give you like a pulse on some guys, but like salary and team construction, I have not really kind of worked my way to anything yet on main slate. I'm hoping to win. We're trying to win those dollars today, baby, on this 3-game slate.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. All right, everyone.
Who's your guy? Who's the Galbrain Thanksgiving dude? Who's scoring a touchdown today?
Lawrence Cager. that's my Galbrain dude. I will be playing this guy. I think that, I think, he's a converted wide receiver, playing tight end, immediately dusted Tanner Hudson and Chris Myarick. I mean, literally, they claimed him off the practice squad on a Tuesday, and on Sunday, he led the position in routes run, and it wasn't just a fluke because they did it in the next game. He's super cheap. Tight end's obviously the worst position. Lawrence Cager is that dude.
Boom.
There we go. All right, everyone. Rich, send the people to Sharp Football. How can they get ready for this weekend?
Yeah, you can go read the worksheet over at Sharp Football Analysis. Obviously, the big thing towards the end of the year is just like, if you want to sign up for weekly packages for DFS or just get ready for your seasonal playoffs, the first week you sign up is only $1. And listen, you can just cancel and re-sign up for $1 again.
Boom. There we go. You can't beat that. All right, everyone. Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves, Sharp Football. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see y'all back next week.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.